saw a priest tossing holy water around and assumed he was doing some sacramental blessing for her soul. It would be a long while before the crowd dispersed, so there was no point in waiting here until then. We might as well return tomorrow night when all was quiet. Follow me, I said, turning toward an alley. Wrath didn't protest and kept close as we maneuvered out of the thickest part of the crowd. A little food stand that had already closed up for the night caught my attention. There was a painting on its side, a paw print clutching a stalk of wheat, and something about it made me think of greed. I waited until we were far enough away to speak openly. You're sure you didn't find any traces of greed?
Unless he's come up with a way to mask his magic. No, he wasn't here.
Why are you so convinced he's to blame? What evidence do you have? I'm not convinced of anything. I'm just trying to tug on threads that seem likely. I bumped into a few people still on their way to the murder scene, muttered apologies, and turned down another street. As for evidence, based on my conversation with him, his desire to possess the Horn of Hades, and the attack on my grandmother immediately following my meeting with him, greed makes the most sense right now. I felt Wrath's attention on me as we moved into a narrower street, a constant prickle of energy between my shoulder blades. But he didn't ask how my grandmother was or offer apologies. And to be perfectly honest, he was the last creature in the world I wanted comfort from. I stopped at the turnoff to my neighborhood. Who is the next witch on your list?
I don't know yet.
That needs to be our next priority, I said, glancing past him. The street was quiet in this quarter. Once you find out who she is, we'll have to hide her somewhere safe. Wrath pressed his lips together, but finally nodded in agreement.
I'll send word to my realm tonight. I should have an answer by morning.
It wasn't cold, but I rubbed my hands over my arms anyway. My dress was creamy white and sleeveless, perfect for the warm summer nights, but terrible for fighting chills brought on by fear. Wrath tracked the movement, his attention focused on my forearm. Wildflowers twisted and tangled all the way up to my elbow now. I didn't have to see his arm to know his tattoo was the same. I looked down my street, relieved to see a few children out playing. I didn't want to be scared of greed or envy lurking in the shadows, but I was. All right, I said. I'll see you tomorrow then. Where should we meet?
Don't worry. Wrath flashed a wolfish grin. I'll find you.
You know that's deeply unsettling, right?
Jucundissima somnia.
Sweetest dreams. And then he was gone. Chapter 27. I was thinking of making cassata for tomorrow's dessert. Mama turned to me, her expression worn but hopeful. Somehow I managed to hide the swift emotional punch from registering on my face. The sponge cake with sweet ricotta layers was a favorite of both mine and Vittoria's. We used to request it each year for our birthday, and Mama never disappointed us. She'd roll out a thin layer of marzipan, covering the whole cake in the sweet paste before decorating it with brightly colored candied fruit. I loved how the slightly chewier upper layer contrasted against the soft deliciousness of the wet cake hidden inside. I wasn't sure if I could ever eat it again without feeling crushed by a wave of sadness, but refused to dampen my mother's spirits. When I smiled, it was genuine.
That sounds delicious.
My mother shuffled over to the dry goods cabinet, seemingly exhausted again from her brief spurt of conversation, and pulled out a bowl, filling it with sugar and all the supplies she needed for the cake. Today was a bad day for her. I watched her, then went back to removing the sarde a beccafico from the oven. I inhaled the fragrant scent of stuffed sardines. Nonna's recipe called for golden raisins, pine nuts, and breadcrumbs in the stuffing. Then she drizzled melted sage butter and thyme over it
before finishing it off with large bay leaves to separate the fish while it baked. The result was a symphony of flavors that melted in your mouth and stuck to your ribs. I'd no sooner set the fish on a platter when my father stepped into the kitchen, waving around a folded note. He expertly swiped a piece of stuffing that had fallen out, and I shook my head but smiled all the same. My father was always very helpful in the kitchen, sampling each new recipe for quality purposes. Or so he kept claiming.
Salvatore dropped this off for you, Emilia,
he said around a mouthful of food.
Said your friend asked him to deliver it right away.
Mama wore a rosary like other humans, and I imagined she'd be kissing it later, uttering novenas if she ever found out who my friend really was. I hastily snatched the note before she could. Grazie, papa. My father pulled a stool over and started loading a plate, drawing my mother's attention. I used the distraction to hurry into the corridor and read the short message. Piazza Ziza and Via degli Emiri, 8 in the evening. I didn't recognize the careful, neat penmanship, but it dripped regal arrogance and made my stomach twist. The address he'd given was Castello della Ziza. La Ziza was a sprawling Moorish palace that mostly sat in ruin now. The king who'd had it built was called Il Malo, the bad one, so it was more than fitting the demon prince had taken up temporary residence there. I refolded the note, shoved it down my bodice, then made my way back into the kitchen. I'd have just enough time to finish dinner service and hurry over to the palace before dark. I crept into the abandoned castle from the rear garden and roamed around several desolate yet ornate rooms before finally circling around to the main entrance and finding another note tacked to the front door, the last place I'd expect a secret meeting location to be posted. I stared out across the lawn at the reflecting pool and shook my head. Subtlety was an art form lost on the demon, apparently. Though I supposed when he was the biggest, baddest predator around, he had little to fear. Roof. I inwardly sighed. This palace had been built in such a way that cool air filtered through it like an icebox. But of course, a creature from hell would be happiest in the scorching heat. I was dripping with sweat and spitting mad by the time my foot hit the last stair. I marched across the roof, determined to flay the demon alive, and halted. Wrath lay stretched out on his back, hands laced behind his head, soaking in the last rays of the sun as it hovered above the horizon in the distance. Light gilded his profile, and he turned his face toward it, smiling at the warmth. He hadn't noticed me yet, and part of me was relieved. His expression was serene, a look I hadn't seen from him. Though his body was relaxed, an undercurrent of alertness remained that made me believe he could spring up and attack in less than a breath. He was like a serpent laying in a patch of sun. Lethal. Beautiful. Wholly untouchable. I wanted to kick him for being so dangerously breathtaking. His head snapped in my direction, his gaze capturing mine. For a minute, I forgot how to breathe. He slowly took me in.
Did something happen on the way here?
No.
Then why do you look confused?
I thought you couldn't bear daylight.
Why is that?
I rolled my eyes, as if he didn't know. Because the Malvagi turn to ash in the sun. That's why we always meet at dusk. He looked at me oddly.
What else exactly have you heard of the wicked?
I lifted a shoulder. Everyone knew the legends. Since they concerned him, I doubted he was that clueless. You're bloodthirsty demons. You've got red flecks in your eyes. Your skin is like ice. You're beautiful. And your kisses are addictive enough to make someone sell their soul for another. A bemused smile touched his lips.
It's nice to know you find me so attractive. But I'm not one of those demons. My eyes aren't red. And if you'd like to find out if my skin is warmer than ice, that can easily be arranged.
To further his point, he undid a few buttons on his shirt, exposing a patch of bronzed skin. A light sheen of sweat glistened, as if beckoning. My face heated, having nothing to do with the sun.
I work in a kitchen and can break down a chicken carcass in under 3 minutes. I imagine doing the same to you wouldn't be that different.
I assure you, there's no truth to these stories.
His eyes sparked with mischief.
Though I can't promise my kisses wouldn't be sinfully good.
I thought we were supposed to meet later tonight. Did something happen to change that?
Wrath stared at me a moment longer, and for some reason I held my breath. He looked like he wanted to say something else, but an inner battle was being waged.
Finally, he laid back down, face tipped up at the sun, and closed his eyes. I exhaled.
No, nothing of note.
Do you know who the next witch is?
Not yet.
I stood there, waiting for him to elaborate. When he didn't bother, I walked over and glared at him until he looked up grudgingly, shielding his face with a strong hand.
If you don't have information on the next witch, why did you ask me to come here?
He squinted at me. I've secured the building with my magic, so unless you invite something in, it'll be safe from humans, my brothers, and most supernatural creatures. I wasn't sure what you had planned for the evening and thought you might like to see where we'd be staying. I'll be out for a little while, so please look around, make yourself comfortable, and grab your things.
I stared at him, ignoring the whole moving in together scenario.
Where are you going?
To meet one of Pride's messengers.
Is he the one who gave you Julia's name?
Wrath nodded.
My associate has been watching him since late last night, and witnessed him passing information this morning to someone wearing a hood. I believe whoever he spoke to is our murderer.
Why didn't your associate follow the hooded figure?
He tried. When he closed in, the person crossed into a crowd and disappeared.
I blew out a breath. Of course. What's the plan?
I'm supposed to meet Pride's messenger to retrieve the next name soon. Instead, I'll interrogate him and we'll hopefully discover the identity of the robed figure that way.
Or I could just use a truth spell.
Too dangerous. Plus, you'll be grabbing your things. I won't be gone for long.
I see. Something in my tone made him sit up again, a wary expression on his face. So he could be a smart demon.
You know I won't stay when there's a chance we could find out who killed my sister, I said. Either you take me with you or I'll follow you.
He studied me for a long minute, then sighed.
I will not be pleasant. I can have the meeting and tell you about it. I promise to not hunt down the murderer without you.
Wait, are you suggesting you've been pleasant?
I snorted. I pity your enemies.
His grin was anything but friendly when he said,
That might be the wisest observation you've made yet, witch.
A clock in the city square chimed the hour. He stood, then ran his golden gaze over my clothes, appraising.
We leave in 40 minutes. Try to wear something less pedestrian. Better yet, I'll have something more appropriate sent to your home.
I glanced at my dress, frowning. There was a modest cotton gown I dyed a deep lavender last summer. It didn't have a corset, which I was very pleased with, but it still had a pretty shape. I liked how it was fitted through the bust and waist, then dreamily flowed down to my ankles. It was hardly pedestrian, and yet...
What if I don't want to wear your fancy clothing again? He didn't bother responding.
I looked up, ready to snap about his rudeness, but he was gone.
I cursed him the entire way home, wondering why I'd gotten stuck with such a clothes-obsessed snob of a demon. Perhaps Nana was right about the cost of le arti oscure. Being subjected to wrath certainly felt like a punishment for using the dark arts. I was so annoyed, it took far too long for me to focus on the most important detail of all that he'd let slip. Wrath knew where I lived. Chapter 28. I looked down at my new, finely made dress and frowned at the dark layers. Why do villains always wear black?
Better to hide the blood with, witch.
I eyed the demon standing in the alley next to me, thinking his response explained a lot about his personal style. Then I wondered how much blood he planned to spill tonight, if he'd dressed us both like living, breathing shadows. I was almost disturbed the thought didn't terrify me more. Who are we meeting? Human? Demon? Werewolf?
Werewolves are like puppies. It's hellhounds you need to watch out for.
Wrath chuckled at my look of horror.
We're meeting a mortal who sold his soul. Speaking of, I need my house dagger back before he arrives.
I gave him a flat stare. Arming a demon didn't seem very beneficial to me. Then again, he needed me to be his precious anchor. He'd mentioned it before, but had shared a few more details on the walk here. I handed the blade over. Say I were to die, how long would it take for your powers to start diminishing?
Depends on how much magic I expend. If I don't use much, I could retain them for a small amount of time.
A small amount of time for an immortal was probably a decade for me. Can someone else act as an anchor? He blew out a breath.
Technically, yes. Any human or denizen of this world can strike a bargain and agree to anchor a demon. It is rare and not worth the time it would take to find someone and agree to terms both parties accepted.
Several moments of silence passed. I tapped my fingers against cool stone. We were hiding in a little alcove off the cathedral square, and it felt like we'd been waiting years for the mysterious messenger to show up. 5 minutes in, I quickly discovered standing still wasn't something I enjoyed very much. When I wasn't moving, all I could do was think about my sister. Why do demons steal souls? Do you need them for something specific? I felt the weight of Wrath's attention as it settled on me. I shifted to see him, surprised to note the level of incredulity he wasn't bothering to hide. Right. Like he'd have a nice long chat about soul collecting with the enemy. I lifted my hands in placation and looked away. Inexplicably, I turned back to him a breath later. Why do you think hearts are being taken?
Are you asking so many questions in hopes of frightening off the messenger before I can scare information from him?
I want to know what you think. There was such a long pause, I didn't think he'd answer.
We don't have enough information to speculate, and it's unwise to make assumptions without fact.
Do you believe anything would want to
eat them? Yes. Plenty of creatures find freshly beating hearts to be the most supreme delicacies, which. Then there's the ritualistic significance. Sacrifice, sport, summoning. And plain old depravity. That level of sadism isn't limited to one species, so we're back where we started.
I felt sick. A simple yes would have sufficed, I said quietly.
What you want is for me to say something comforting.
His voice was like steel when he faced me.
Lying and saying your sister felt no pain serves no purpose to you. I imagine, no matter the reason, whoever, or whatever, took her heart, did so while she was very much alive and very conscious. I promise you, there is no strategic value in getting lost in emotional entanglements.
hone your anger and sorrow into weapons of use, or go back home and cry until the monsters come for you. Because come for you, they will. I'm not afraid of monsters. You may think so now, that my brothers delight in bending creatures like you to their will. They'll feed you their emotions and siphon yours until you don't know where you end and they begin. There are many forms of hell. Pray to your goddesses you never have to experience them firsthand. You need to be sharp and focused, or you'll end up just as dead as the others. Tears pricked my eyes. Not from sadness, but pent-up rage. I am focused, you steaming sack of horse manure. All I dream about is avenging my sister. Don't you dare accuse me of being too emotional. I will destroy anything that gets in the way of achieving my ends, even you. And I'm not scared, or else I never would have summoned you to begin with. You should be terrified. His gaze practically pinned me in place. Vengeance is a potent emotion. It makes you easy prey to both humans and demons alike. Never let someone know what your true motivations are. If they know what you want more than anything, they'll craft all sorts of sweet lies and half-truths to manipulate you. They'll know exactly how far they can push, what to offer, and what you would never refuse, giving them the upper hand. Your first goal should be to remain alive. Figure out everything else as you go. You know my true goals. Yes, I do. And it was an extremely foolish mistake on your part to tell me. Make no bones about it. All it takes is a bit of prodding. A tiny push to annoy you, and you immediately fall into the trap of lashing out in fury. And in that burning rage, you told me everything I need to know about what you want. He shook his head. What will you promise me, Amelia, in exchange for your deepest desire? What wouldn't you do to achieve justice for the sister you love? Now I know there's no price too high to demand. I can ask anything, and you'd give it. We were standing very close now, each of us breathing very hard. I hated that he was right. He didn't even manipulate my emotions like Envy had. He didn't have to. He'd simply goaded me into telling him my deepest desires out of anger. And he only had to push a little to get me to snap. Furious with myself for being outmaneuvered by a demon, I did the best thing I knew how. I lied like the devil. I stuck my finger in Wrath's chest and poked him hard. If you think that's everything that motivates me, you're sadly mistaken, demon. And why do you care anyway? He slowly wrapped his fingers around mine, halting my assault on him. He didn't let go. And I wondered if he realized I'd stopped poking him the second his blazing skin touched mine. Now he was just holding my hand against his chest, his heart hammering beneath my touch. And I was allowing it. I regained my senses and stepped away. That's the fourth time you've lied to me, witch. It really stoked his anger, too. I smiled demurely. Maybe you should tell me more about the curse. I'd like to know more about that part. Fine. You want to know the bloody details? The curse?
Signore, should I return in a little while?
A man somewhere between 30 and 40 stood a few feet away, wringing a letter in his hands.
Your brother said...
From one breath to the next, Wrath had the messenger up against the wall, his forearm pressed against the man's windpipe. Blood dripped from the messenger's nose onto his tunic, and the demon closed his eyes as if in utter rapture.
Hello, Francesco. Pardon my rudeness, but I hear you've been selling my secrets. If we were in the walled city, you'd already be dead.
Consider this a favor.
I stood there, frozen, half in shock, half in terror. Wrath had exploded in violence faster than it took me to suck in a startled breath.
Did I ever tell you the scent of blood drives me into a near frenzy, witch?
Your kind believes we crave the taste of it. But princes of hell don't usually drink blood.
It's power we're intoxicated by. The more I allow someone to bleed, the more power I hold over their life.
I blinked. I could barely form a coherent thought. I forgot, through our bantering, who Wrath really was. I imagined I was seeing only a fraction of what he could do.
He leaned harder into the human, whose face was now a deep purple.
If Wrath pushed any harder, the man was going to die. I made to step forward, then stopped.
I crave power more than money or blood or lust, and there's no greater power than choice. I'd lie for it, steal, cheat, maim, and murder. If I could, I'd sell my soul again for it, witch.
Sell your... I shook my head. Demons were soulless creatures. Wrath opened his eyes and turned to me. His irises glowed bright gold in the dark. There wasn't anything human in them, and I realized he'd been keeping this part of himself under lock and key. Some claimed the wicked were angels before they committed unforgivable sins and were cast out of heaven. Now I understood how those stories started. Wrath's gaze blazed with heavenly fire. He was wrathful justice, pure, swift, and completely unforgiving. Ignoring my growing fear, I turned over his admission and understood what he was really saying. He was offering me a choice. I had the power to walk away from what he was about to do, or I could choose to stay and take part in it. I thought of my sister's ravaged body and the other witches who died just as brutally because this man shared information about the messages he carried. Wrath said he was going to scare the messenger to find out who he'd been selling secrets to. His sudden burst of violence shouldn't have surprised me. I nodded, almost imperceptibly, but the demon understood. Wrath faced the messenger again.
Who paid you to open my letter, Francesco?
The man's attention shot to me, searching for assistance. Wrath looked me over slowly again, waiting. Francesco made his choice. Now it was time to make mine. The prince asked you a simple question, Francesco. I'll repeat it once for your benefit, and then I'll let him ask his way. And I'm sure you already know that won't be pleasant. I injected a ruthless charm into my tone like Wrath's, and the man flinched. Who paid you to open his letter? Wrath kept staring at me, and even though his expression hadn't shifted in the slightest, I swore I almost sensed approval. My stomach tightened, and I fought the urge to be sick. If I'd done the right thing, I didn't think I'd feel so ill. Francesco gurgled and scratched at the arm still pressed against his windpipe, his nails snagging on the demon's cuff. I hoped Wrath wouldn't strangle him to death before we got our answers. The demon prince must have suddenly eased up on the pressure, because Francesco gulped air like a fish yanked from the water.
Would you feel more comfortable talking with my blade at your throat?
Francesco's golden skin blanched, but I noticed his hands fisting at his sides. Wrath was using his powers, and the messenger was getting mad. His chest rapidly rose and fell.
Do what you want, but I won't tell you a thing, demon pig.
Really?
Wrath smiled, a flash of teeth that seemed to put Francesco on the verge of pissing himself despite his newfound rage.
Let's test that out, mortal. Who do you work for?
God! The man spit in the demon's face, and the glob slowly dripped to the ground. Wrath's blade was under the man's chin in an instant, the tip pressed hard enough for blood to slide along the metal. It looked like it took all of his willpower not to shove the dagger through the human and into the stone he leaned against, severing his spinal cord. Shadows seemed to pulse from Wrath. For a second, I wasn't sure if the demon of war would end him right there.
Apologies, Francesco, but my patience is growing thin. Your actions sent four women to their deaths. Do you not think I will not send you to yours just as brutally?
Go ahead and kill me. I won't tell you anything.
Francesco's head cracked against the wall when Wrath slammed him back. Blood dribbled from the human's mouth as he laughed, delighting in the violence. He smiled, teeth stained red with blood.
I hope you all rot in hell.
I felt Wrath's rage turn from a simmer into a full boil. Soon, whether he meant to or not, he'd kill Francesco. And we'd lose our biggest chance at discovering who murdered my twin. I heard both Nonna's and Wrath's warnings singing through my head, but it didn't matter. We were out of options, and the anger raging around us was growing intense enough to burn. Wrath was about to snap. I pulled his emotions to me, using them as fuel for my truth spell as I clutched my sister's amulet. "Did you open the letter?" I asked, my voice laced with magical command. Wrath's attention snapped to me, and if I didn't know any better, I'd think fear entered his features. Francesco nodded before answering.
Yes.
Did anyone pay you to do it?
Yes.
Who paid you, Francesco? Greed?
No.
Tell me who paid you then.
I do not know his name.
Is he human? He lifted a shoulder.
He wore a hood. I didn't see his face.
Did you tell him where Julia would be the night she was murdered? He swallowed hard.
Yes.
Did you meet with him today?
Yes.
My anger flared up. What information did you give him?
Another address.
And a time to meet.
I didn't have a name this time, I swear.
What time and address did you give him, Francesco?
The Piazza Villena. Midnight.
I looked at Wrath for further instruction, but he shook his head. The truth spell was nearly up. Blood spilled from the human's nose, and his eyes had turned glassy. If I pushed any more, he'd die. I glanced down, noticing my whole body trembled. Wrath stepped close to him.
If you ever share my secrets again, I'll cut out your tongue, then I'll carve out your heart. Have I made myself clear?
He gave Wrath the barest hint of a nod, careful not to slice his own throat. Sweat dampened his hairline. He really didn't look well.
Next time you're tasked with carrying a message for me, don't let curiosity or greed get the better of you. Those conditions often prove deadly.
I couldn't help but notice the trickle of urine streaming down the man's leg as the demon let his weapon drop. He stared from Wrath to me, a deep crease forming in his brow. He blinked slowly, as if awakening from a dream or a nightmare.
Who are you? Why am I here? Please, don't hurt me. If you're looking for money, I don't have any.
He turned out his pockets. There was nothing but lint.
See?
My nausea from earlier was back and almost had me doubling over. I'd invaded his mind and must have destroyed his recent memories. Dark magic demanded a price. And it didn't always come in the form someone expected. Guilt swelled through me. Just because I had power didn't mean I should abuse it.
You're...
Wrath flashed me a warning look.
You're Francesco Parelli Sr., and you're on your way home. You had too much to drink. You better hurry before Angelica gets mad again. Do you remember the way?
Francesco wiped a tear and shook his head. He seemed so fragile now, so lost. And I'd done that to him, not some demon or horrible creature from hell. Me. I'd broken the most important rule of this world. I'd taken his free will, and I'd bent it to mine.
Wrath turned Francesco toward the cathedral, handed him a coin purse, and whispered in his ear.
I stared at the demon's back, heart racing. Wrath could have easily left the man alone in his new hell, but didn't. Just like he could have easily demanded I trade my soul in exchange for justice for my twin. He knew what I wanted, and what I'd be willing to give up for it, and he had asked for nothing. I didn't think there was mercy in hell, but maybe I was wrong.
Wrath gritted his teeth.
What?
You could have killed him.
Don't. I beat him, and you stole his freedom of choice. His memories will eventually return, but that piece of your soul will not.
I would have gotten our information without magic. There's an old saying about fools rushing in where angels fear to tread. From now on, I suggest you heed the warning. Come on.
He walked deeper into the shadows. We need to get to Quattro Canti.
If he didn't want to discuss the forbidden magic I used to get our information, that was fine with me. I already felt like my skin was crawling with grave worms. Why?
The real messenger is waiting for us there.
Chapter 29. Before we waltzed into the middle of the Baroque Square, Wrath situated us in another crammed alley. He claimed it was to get a better idea of the layout and any traps other demons, like greed or envy, might have set. He politely asked me to wait while he strode over to a young man with a scar carving a path through his right cheek. Since he asked nicely, I decided to agree, temporarily. Letting him go ahead afforded me an opportunity to observe him and the new messenger on my own. The human was intriguing. His stunning combination of dark features and upswept eyes hinted at North African and Asian ancestry. He hadn't noticed me peering from the shadows nearby, but I saw him clearly enough. He leaned against a building, digging imaginary dirt from shorn nails with a deadly-looking blade. He projected a sense of boredom, but his gaze tracked the movements of everything around him with a predator's focus. Even the demon prince. Wrath marched over without hesitation, and I was unfortunately a little too far away to make out their conversation. Judging from the amount of eye-rolling the human was doing, I imagine Wrath was lecturing about something. I quietly drifted closer.
Suspects the truth, Anir. I'm sure the others will in time, too. Too late for regrets now,
the human Anir said. His voice was familiar. I just couldn't place it.
With everything going on, it might be a good thing. I mean, you chose to do the ritual, right? Is it really that bad?
She is a demon-blooded damned witch. What do you think?
Were they talking about me? I curled my hands into fists, my nails creating little crescent moons in my palms. He was a high-handed, arrogant, no-good demon from hell. But I wasn't harping on his less-than-appealing qualities, was I? No. I was mature enough to set them aside to work together to stop a murderer from slaughtering any more witches.
Sounds like a lovely girl. Will you be properly introducing us? You've only got...
Wrath yanked an ear up by his collar, his feet swinging a good inch or two off the ground. I sucked in a quiet breath. It didn't look like lifting a grown man caused any strain for the demon prince at all.
Finish that sentence, and I'll give the other side of your face a scar too.
Apologies. Did I strike a nerve?
Anir held up his hands in mock surrender, not bothering to hide his grin. It held no fear and little humor. I decided if I wasn't so aggravated, I might like him. He was either very brave or very foolish to taunt the demon of war.
Don't get pissy. Right now it's only temporary. And she's behind us.
Wrath dropped the human, and he gracefully caught himself from tumbling.
Amelia, this is Anir, my most trusted associate. He knows who agreed to marry Pride next.
I slipped out from the shadows and inspected the young man. You were there the night I was attacked by the Viperidae.
Yes.
Anir seemed unsure of what else he could or couldn't share. I turned to Wrath. He's human.
You're very astute.
I took a deep breath and counted until the urge to send him back to the bone circle passed. What I meant is if you have a human as your associate, why can't he be your anchor? If something were to happen to me, you'd be all right. Wrath opened his mouth, then shut it. I raised a brow, waiting.
Anir no longer claims the human world as his. Therefore, he cannot provide the same benefits you can.
Anir snorted, and quickly tried to choke the rest of his laughter down when Wrath turned his blazing glare on him.
That's certainly one way of looking at it.
What's he talking about? I asked, staring hard at the demon. What aren't you telling me? Wrath gave me a look that said a good many things, but didn't bother answering aloud. Instead, he said,
Anir was just leaving. He was waiting to see if the rogue figure arrived, but they never showed up. Now he's got house business to tend to back home.
Who's the poor girl?
Valentina Rossi.
My whole body went numb as I let that information sink in. Valentina was Claudia's cousin. If anyone would want to readily agree to become the Queen of Hell, Valentina would take up that shadowy mantle with pride. She wasn't bad. She just seemed regal and meant for a role larger than a weaver on our little island. I wasn't surprised she'd be intrigued by a deal with the devil. I started for her neighborhood. We had to warn her before it was too late. Wrath stepped into my path, halting my steps.
What?
I know her.
And? He pressed.
I'm wondering why he's choosing witches with ties to dark magic.
Well, Anir said, that's because the...
Wrath cut him off.
Time to go.
As he glanced between the demon prince and me, Anir's smile was that of a wolf who'd found a squiggling snack it wanted to shove down its throat.
Actually, I'd rather stay here for a while. Demon weddings are not for the faint of heart. Plus, you'd need some extra eyes and ears when you speak to the girl. Maybe the robed figure will follow us.
He winked at me like we were the oldest of friends sharing a secret. Wrath caught the look and stared until his associate shrugged and started walking across the square. I waited until he was out of earshot before turning to Wrath. Are you going to try and convince Valentina to go to the underworld with you?
I swore I wouldn't do anything but offer the bargain, and I will keep my word. However, once we get her to safety, I'd like to see if she'd be willing to help us draw out the murderer.
You'd like to use her as bait?
Yes. Someone is doing their best to ensure Pride doesn't break the curse. I intend to discover who and why before anyone else dies. Then I'll offer a bit of retribution of my own.
I shivered. It wasn't exactly what I was expecting him to say, but I appreciated his honesty. I know Valentina's family very well. I'm going to tell her to decline Pride's bargain, I admitted. I hope you understand. Wrath's gaze clashed with mine.
Do what you must. The final decision will be up to her.
While we hurried to Valentina's home, Anir told me about his life prior to leaving this world for what he called the Kingdom of the Wicked. He was the only child of a Tunisian father and Chinese mother, and had been playing in a nearby olive tree during the brutal slaying of his parents. His father had witnessed a crime and was going to tell authorities what he saw. Before he could do that, they were killed. Anir said the scar came later, once he'd grown into the sort of young man others feared. Wrath found him traveling through South America, fighting in underground rings, bruised and bloodied. Some battles were a fight to the death and paid handsomely. Anir was a reigning champion for more than a year when he'd been offered employment in House Wrath. I stopped listening to them bicker over how many years passed. Apparently time moved differently in the demon realms. As we turned down the next street and slipped into a darker, narrower alleyway. A strange tug I'd felt before took control of my senses, drawing me down a second side street. I glanced around, recognizing the neighborhood, and a terrible feeling settled in. I took a few more steps and stopped, unsurprised by the body. I'd grown suspicious before we'd rounded the corner, and the slumped silhouette was all the confirmation I'd needed. I scanned the area. Laundry hung from one crammed building to the other over our heads and snapped in the breeze like teeth. It might have stricken fear into my heart before, but now it seemed like the perfect cover for a crime. There was no evidence, nothing to waste time sorting through. It was a targeted job. The killer had gotten in and out, leaving nothing but the body behind. Wrath abruptly stopped walking. Anir noticed the victim a moment before tripping over her. He shot the demon an irritated look and sidestepped a growing lake of blood.
Next time, a little warning would be nice.
A little less insubordination might make me more amenable to common courtesy in the future.
Anir narrowed his dark eyes. The movement made the scar on his cheek stand out more. Wrath went to step around the body when his associate yanked him to a halt. I watched it all happen as if the scene was playing out on a stage, far from where I actually stood. I couldn't believe another body lay brutalized at our feet. Bile slowly rose. Wrath seemed entirely unaffected, as if coming across maimed bodies was part of his daily life. The demon turned on his heel, gaze locked onto the human's hand.
What?
Anir jabbed a finger toward the cooling body.
Aren't we going to send for help? What do you propose we do? Call for human authorities?
Wrath didn't give Anir a chance to answer.
If you were them, would you take our word as good Samaritans and let us be on our way? Or would you look at your demon-forged blade and my devilish demeanor and toss us in some ship-filled cell and throw away the key?
Anir pursed his lips, but didn't say anything.
Do you have any more noble suggestions, or can we leave? Sometimes you really are a heartless bastard.
Wrath glanced down at me, his brows drawn together.
Are you all right?
No, I was most certainly not all right. The body of another murder victim was lying at our feet, and I'd just gotten a look at her face. She was my best friend's cousin. I stared in horrified silence at her broken body. I still couldn't understand how this scene was real. My head spun with shock. Claudia wasn't close to her cousin, but would still feel her loss greatly. I shoved the heels of my hands into my eyes.
Amelia?
I shrugged away from Wrath's touch. Pat is... was Valentina Rossi.
I assumed as much.
I couldn't believe another witch had her heart ripped out. This brought the death toll up to 5. I fought the bile searing its way up my throat again, seeing something so horrific. I'd never get used to it. Francesco, the treacherous human messenger, didn't know the name of the next bride, only the meeting location for Anir. And I doubted Anir would betray Wrath, which meant the information had gotten out some other way. I was nauseated for a new reason. I tortured a man for nothing.
There must be a spy in the kingdom, Anir said, putting my thoughts into words.
I imagined he'd seen his share of horrible things, but he still looked shocked. He pulled his dark hair back and tied it with a string of leather he ripped from his wrist. Wrath paced around the alley, careful to avoid stepping in the blood. I averted my gaze from the gore. We needed to send word to the authorities. Valentina couldn't just lay there, cold and alone. The demon stopped close to where I stood, shielding my view of the body.
Which means one of my brothers is responsible. Somehow, some way.
My earlier encounter with his brothers sprang to mind. Greed and envy are both here. Wrath shook his head.
Envy wouldn't chance a fight with me. Greed, I still can't see him jeopardizing his house. Not after he's built a formidable stronghold. Either way, the implications of a betrayal within the Seven. Forget the curse, Your Highness, Anir said. Personal feelings about witches aside, finish the marriage bond with Amelia and secure your own house before war comes. You'll need your powers at their fullest. Whoever is organizing this must have killed Pride's wife.
It felt like I'd been drenched in an ice bath. What marriage bond? Anir missed the note of panic in my voice.
The one you started when you bound the prince to you.
Wrath stopped moving, stopped breathing as I gaped in horror. Time seemed to freeze as I silently repeated what Anir said. I wanted to shout that it wasn't true, but Wrath's reaction said otherwise. The demon prince didn't break my stare. How?
Leave us.
Wrath barely spoke above a whisper, but Anir jumped to obey the command. Once he was gone, the demon nodded toward our matching tattoos.
Your protection charm wasn't a bond of protection, like a guardian to their ward.
The translation of Aevitas Legati means bound forever,
as in holy matrimony.
It wasn't needed for the summoning to be successful. Are you saying we're betrothed? I waited, heart pounding, but Wrath said nothing. He didn't need to. The truth was there in his eyes. He'd known all along what I'd done. No wonder he'd looked so horrified that night. I'd basically ripped him from hell and forced him into a betrothal. Forever. When were you going to tell me? His voice came out soft.
This doesn't change anything.
Everything's changed. A violent shudder tore through me as the demon continued to hold my unflinching gaze. This was all too much. The body of my best friend's cousin, my accidental engagement to Wrath. What happens if I don't want to marry you? Will you force me to rule beside you in hell?
Amelia.
Don't you dare. I shook my head. Will I be forced to go there?
No.
Right. Demon laws were based on civility. Forcing someone into marriage probably broke all of their strangely rigid rules. But I bet he'd fashion a wicked bargain for me and make it so good, so tempting, I'd never say no. Especially if the marriage bond helped give him more power like Anir claimed it would. I locked my hand at my side. What did Anir mean by securing your house before there's war? A muscle in his jaw ticked.
I cannot share that information with you.
Then we're through. I clutched my sister's amulet. Te libero. I release you from whatever bond we have. When I marry, it will be for love. Not love of power or whatever other depraved thing you desire. And love is something you soulless, despicable creatures know nothing about. If he called out to me or flinched, I wouldn't know. I turned and fled as far from the demon prince and the newest murder victim as I could. I wanted nothing more to do with the cursed creatures who'd brought this suffering on my family and my city. From this point forward,
I'd find out who murdered my sister on my own. And Wrath could simply crawl back to hell and rot with the rest of them. Chapter 30. I sat at a table facing the sea, sipping water with a slice of lemon. I'd left an anonymous note for the police with the location of Valentina's body, and still hadn't gotten over the horror of the night. I wanted to rush to Claudia's, but had to wait until the police told her cousin's family first. If they were already mourning when the authorities showed up, they'd start asking questions. Waiting invited all sorts of thoughts I didn't want to think about. Not now, or ever. I couldn't believe I'd been so stupid as to accidentally betroth myself to Wrath. And he hadn't let the secret slip sooner. He must have absolutely loathed it. Especially with what Anir said about him hating witches. I fought the urge to bury my face in my hands. Knowing that he was fully aware of my error while I'd thought I was in control, it was humiliating. I didn't want to consider other missteps I'd taken that he'd been too polite to point out. As soon as I'd tipped off the police, I'd realized I had nowhere to go. I couldn't go back home and put my family at risk. And while I could stay at the palace with Wrath, I needed time and space to sort out my thoughts and feelings. A lot happened in a short amount of time. Two more murders. A secret fiancé from hell. Nonna's attack. My stolen amulet. The Viperidae. It seemed the punches kept on getting thrown, and I was getting battered and bruised in the process. The harder I clutched at normalcy, the more my world spun into chaos. Since I refused to see Wrath again for the moment, I decided to push everything out of my head and continue searching for answers in Vittoria's death by myself. If I could solve my sister's murder, I could prevent anyone else from dying. Every time I tried putting myself in Vittoria's shoes, I kept coming back to her diary. It didn't give up as many secrets as I'd hoped. And the ones it did reveal were still cryptic enough to keep me guessing. I was going over a mental list of tasks to accomplish when the seat across from me was pulled out. Wrath dropped into it, eyeing me warily. I stared back at him for a few moments. Neither of us said anything. It seemed like my almost husband was giving me time to collect myself. Or maybe he was waiting for me to banish him back to the bone circle again. I took a few deep breaths. How did you know where I was? He gave me a long, measured look, then glanced pointedly at the tattoo on my arm. I was definitely going to kill him. You said you could only find me if I accepted the blood trade. You never mentioned the tattoo.
If I told you the ink was part of a marriage bond, you would have immediately run. I needed you to have time to trust me.
I went to argue, but shut my mouth. It was true. If I'd known what the tattoo meant the first night I'd summoned him, I would have sent him straight back to his realm. Trust is usually earned because both parties are honest.
I have not lied to you.
I loosened a breath. Not technically, no. A waitress came out and cheerfully recited the menu. Wrath seemed skeptical, but let me do the ordering without complaint. 30 minutes of strained silence later, she brought out our food. Wrath considered it as if it were a complicated equation he was sorting out. One steaming plate of scampi, some arancini, a platter of antipasto. Stacked with prosciutto, peperoncini, soppressata, provolone, marinated olives, and artichokes tossed with oil, vinegar, oregano, and basil, and a basket of grilled bread graced our little table. I kept waiting for the demon to pull the waitress aside and ask for warmed blood or raw innards, but he seemed content with my choices, and I certainly wasn't going to be the one to put the idea of uncooked offal in his head. Wrath did surprise me by ordering a pitcher of red wine with orange slices, and poured a generous amount for each of us. I sipped my wine,
enjoying the sweetness of it despite myself. I wanted to escape from my dark thoughts for a while, and the dinner and wine were helping. I hadn't slept all night, and it felt good to just collect myself and regroup. Wrath piled a plate with food and slid it in front of me before serving himself. It took all of my concentration not to topple out of my chair from the shock. He caught my eye and scowled.
Good manners are hard to break, no matter how unpleasant the company I'm forced to keep. Plus, you served me the dessert. It's only fair to return the favor.
I smiled, which seemed to rankle him more, and tucked into my food. After a few minutes of watching him poke around at the scampi, I skewered one with my fork and held it out to him. His suspicion deepened.
What are you doing?
This is langostino. It's like a baby lobster. I'm pretty sure you'll like it, unless you're afraid. Wrath accepted the shellfish as if in challenge. He must have enjoyed it, because his focus shifted to his plate, and he didn't look up again until he'd sampled a bit of everything. While he experienced the wonder of human food, I ate my scampi, enjoying the fresh lemon they'd used to cut the richness of the butter. Theirs was a bit heavier with citrus than ours, and I decided to experiment one day soon. Maybe if I sliced a lemon in half and grilled it face down. I paused, fork to mouth. I'd been enjoying myself so much I almost forgot the reason I was sitting there, with one of the malvagi, eating. A month. My twin had been gone for a little more than a month, and I was daydreaming about recipes for sea and vine while in the company of our worst enemy. The food turned to stone in my stomach. I pushed my plate away, no longer hungry. Wrath watched me in a way a human might study a fly buzzing over their dinner.
Experiencing a moral dilemma, witch.
I couldn't muster an ounce of anger or annoyance. A hard blade of truth carved into me. I had no idea what I was doing. I was pretty sure my sister had summoned a demon, but didn't know which one. I knew about the Horn of Hades, but didn't know how we came to be the keepers of it. Then there were the cryptic clues in Vittoria's diary about her ability to hear magical objects, and the possibility of the first book of spells being in this world. I knew my sister agreed to become the Devil's Bride, but still hadn't figured out why she'd made that awful choice, or why she didn't confide in me or our grandmother. I had more questions than answers, and no one I could fully trust. Nonna almost died because of my quest for justice, and I refused to put anyone else in my family in danger by going to them for anything related to the murder. While Wrath might have saved me, he was a prince of hell, and even though he'd vowed to not force a witch into a bargain, I still didn't know how or why he was picked for this mission. I leaned forward and dropped my voice. I want to know everything about the curse. I stared at him, and his gold eyes, speckled with black, gazed back.
Have you considered moving in with me until we find the murderer?
A most unexpected deflection. I have.
Where are your belongings?
At home. He swirled his wine around, and I wondered what exactly he was thinking.
Would you like me to escort you there while you retrieve them?
I haven't told you what I've decided. I eyed him. And I want you to answer my question. If Pride is the one who's cursed, how does that affect you?
We should go back to the palace and speak there.
Not until you give me some answers. Wrath looked like he was considering different ways to string me up using my innards.
I will. Later.
Now. I refused to budge on this. He stared up at the sky, and I wondered, if he was praying, why he hadn't glanced down instead.
Fine. If I answer your questions, will you agree to stay in the palace?
No. but it will help me decide. How about that? He drew a long breath and slowly released it. I waited. After fighting some inner battle, I saw the exact moment he decided to confide in me.
In order for the curse to be fully broken, a consort needs to sit on the throne and help rule House Pride.
Anir said the last consort was murdered. How?
Her heart was torn from her chest.
He looked at me, but I had a feeling he wasn't really seeing me anymore.
Along with a few of her royal ladies.
Did the first witch really curse Pride?
Yes.
I allowed that information to settle in with all of the other tales I'd convinced myself were just stories. La Prima Strega was ancient. She'd begun the first line of witches, or so the old stories went. Supposedly, she was the source of our power and belonged only to herself. No light magic, no dark magic. Just raw power, slightly diluted from the goddess who'd birthed her. She predated human La Vecchia Religione, and the old religion was old. At times, La Prima was idolized, and at others, feared. Daughter of the sun goddess and a demon, she was created as the perfect balance between light and dark. We were told she was immortal, but I'd never seen her, and didn't know anyone else who had either. I always believed she was no more than a creation myth or legend. Why did she curse him? Rath hesitated.
It was punishment for what she thought happened between her firstborn and him.
I sat up straighter. Claudia had mentioned this. So what, he stole her soul and La Prima took her vengeance?
Witches would believe that, wouldn't they? Rath scoffed. Pride didn't steal anything. He didn't have to. Her daughter willingly chose to wed him. They fell in love, despite who they were.
I thought about what Nonna had started telling me about Stella Streghe, and how they were tasked with being guardians of the wicked. She was a star witch? Rath nodded.
She was meant to be a guardian between realms. Think of them as wardens of the prison of damnation. Her daughter should have known better. She was supposed to be a soldier first. La Prima, as you call her, commanded her daughter to give up her throne and return to the coven. But she refused. The first witch used the darkest kind of magic to remove her daughter's power and banished her from the coven. It had unforeseen effects for other witches, too. It's why some give birth to human daughters.
I mentally sorted out the story. What you're saying is true. I stared at him. Our whole lives we'd been told stories about the wicked and their lies. Yet Rath couldn't directly lie to me because of the summoning magic. I tested it and knew it was a fact. What he was saying, no matter how impossible it sounded, had to be true. Or at least he believed it was. Why are you helping him break the curse? If he's trapped in the underworld, I don't see why that concerns you or any other prince.
Several human years ago, something fractured the gates of hell. We've been told it was part of a prophecy. Pride, being who he is, laughed it off. Then his beloved wife was murdered. His powers dampened. He was trapped in hell, and lesser demons began testing us by trying to slip through cracks in the gates.
Aside from the curse, I couldn't believe hell's second biggest problem was a rickety old door. I squinted at Rath. I had a growing suspicion he hadn't revealed the worst part. And?
Creatures that don't feel like facing trials in the portals of a thousand fears have slipped through. The gates are continuing to weaken despite our best efforts. It's only a matter of time before they completely break. We've tried keeping them away, but some things have already arrived in this world.
Such as?
The few lesser demons. The Viperidae? Not likely. They are summoned.
It wasn't exactly comforting. Demons were starting to invade our world, and I had a terrible feeling it would get much worse before it got better. Anything we should be concerned about in particular, then?
You should be concerned about the upper demon, for one.
The... what?
Upper demon. Head of a boar, tusks of an elephant. Huge reptilian bodies, cleft hooves. Dumb as an ox, but they've got a particular fondness for witch blood. 1,000 tiny teeth in double rows make them very accomplished with swiftly draining a body.
Wrath's growing smile was positively wicked as he glanced over my shoulder. A wet snuff near the base of my neck had me breaking an instant sweat. One hoof clattered on the cobblestones, followed by another. The ground vibrated beneath whatever had taken those two mammoth steps. A shadow fell across the table. Sweet goddess above, I so did not want to turn around.
Whatever you do, witch, don't run.
Chapter 31. There is no greater threat to a witch than a demon who craves her blood. Once its thirst has been provoked, it will relentlessly pursue the cause of its addiction, stopping only when the source has run dry. To ward against this dark energy, pin a sachet of dried yarrow inside your clothing during each new moon. Notes from the Decarlo Grimoire.
Wrath's warning came a second too late. When I wasn't focused on running for my life, I'd later wonder if it was intentional on his part. I hiked up my skirts and plunged into the twilight-colored streets, the sound of pursuit ringing all around me. I charged down one narrow alley into the next, jumping over baskets of dried goods. I didn't look back for fear of losing momentum. There was no way I'd end up drained of blood because curiosity got the better of me. As I dodged past closed doors and ducked under laundry lines, the clattering of cloven footsteps behind me never faltered or slowed. I wasn't just terrified for myself. I was worried about any unsuspecting human unfortunate enough to be in my path as I led a hungry demon through the cramped quarters. I almost stumbled as reality crashed into me. A demon was chasing me through the streets of my city. Somehow, it had breached the gates of hell. And if this was only the beginning... I couldn't finish the thought. I knocked into an empty barrel and threw it in the beast's path. My netherworldly attacker halted for all of a second before wood shattered. Not good. My witch blood gave me a little more strength than a human, but the creature tore through the barrel like paper. My foot caught in a cobblestone, and I couldn't stop morbid curiosity from taking over as I caught myself against a building and tossed a glance over my shoulder. I was ready to freeze from unrelenting horror as death cornered me. Its maw open wide, ready to devour me, bones and all. But nothing was there. I warily glanced around. No demon lurked behind fluttering clothing. No wet-nosed snuffs broke the silence. The complete and utter unnatural silence. Blood and bones. Chills erupted out of nowhere. Like the first night I'd heard the disembodied voice of an Umbra demon, all sounds of life vanished around me. I wasn't alone, I just couldn't see any danger coming. But I sensed it closing in, a claw-tipped hand reaching out in the dark. Demons must have the ability to cloak themselves with some sort of glamour, which was just perfect. I turned and ran as fast as I could, and bounced off a body that was ice cold to the touch. I fell, and crab-walked backward, slowly dragging my gaze up at my destruction. Apparently, I'd been wrong about the glamour. It hadn't been hiding at all, it just moved too fast for me to see it. It wasn't moving now. The upper demon was everything Wrath described, and worse. Its enormous head resembled a wild boar almost perfectly, except for its bright red eyes. Slits of black carved down the middle of the irises, reminding me of a cat straight out of hell. I squeezed my eyes shut, counted to 10, then opened them again. The demon was really there, and it was even worse than the first time I looked at it. Holy goddess! Thick globs of black drool dripped down its muzzle as its teeth clicked in anticipation. Its breath smelled like a fetid swamp on a hot summer day. I pushed up onto unsteady legs and slowly inched away from those vicious, snapping instruments of death. The demon followed. Every instinct I had shouted for me to flee, but I refused to break eye contact with it. I had a feeling if I turned my back, it'd pounce. No matter what I had to do to survive, I would live to see my family again. The demon moved swiftly when I went to turn left, so I moved in the opposite direction. We maintained that same slow dance until we were trapped down a dead end. On my right was a thick steel door with a paw print holding a stalk of something painted onto the metal. The upper demon stood before it, snuffing the air. Bloodlust gleamed in its strange red eyes. Finally remembering the moon-blessed chalk in my pocket, I slowly reached down. One second I was standing, the next I was on the ground with teeth snapping at my neck. Pain shot through me, but was eclipsed by a more immediate threat. Thousands of teeth were ready to slurp my blood. Hot breath touched my skin, and a low whine from the demon followed. Panic set in. I wouldn't die like this. I couldn't. I fought wildly, but the demon was too strong. It drew back, ready to sink its teeth in, and then grey sludge exploded from the beast. A blade shot through where the demon's heart used to be, and shadows writhed like snakes from the wound. I cringed away, watching the dagger pull the demon shadows in and seemingly absorb the demon's life force. The point stopped just shy of piercing my chest. I held my breath, waiting for death to defy whoever had stolen its prize and claim me anyway. I looked up, not into death's face, but the demon of wars. Wrath yanked the dead behemoth away and tossed its carcass aside. He sheathed his demon-slaying dagger, then knelt down. His expression was as hard as his tone, which was helpful. I needed something to focus on besides the overwhelming terror coursing through me. Lesson number one. When fighting a demon, always have some weapon at the ready, whether it's spell chalk or a defensive charm. If you don't have defensive magic, now's the time to acquaint yourself with that part of your lineage. Demons are apex predators. They're faster and stronger than you. Their sole purpose is to kill, and they're very good at it. I leaned against the building, panting, waiting for the trembling to pass. If Wrath hadn't gotten to me when he did, my family would have buried another child. Well, if there'd been anything left of me to bury. Tears pricked my eyes. I'd been forced into a game I knew nothing about, and I was losing. Badly.
Can you stand?
I could barely breathe. But that had nothing to do with terror anymore. Now I was ready to strike out. And I had my sights set on the demon prince looming above me. I maneuvered into a sitting position and swatted his prophet hand away. What? Are you my teacher now?
An opportunity to turn this into a teaching exercise arose on its own. Lessons were never part of our bargain, so you're welcome.
I stared up at him, speechless at the flash of concern he was too slow to hide. He'd genuinely been worried about me. I was so startled I forgot to jab him back. I waited another minute before standing. Wrath's gaze traveled over me a second time. I glanced down at gelatinous grey globs that I assumed used to be innards of the demon. Now I smelled like a fetid swamp. Fantastico. I never thought I'd long for the days when stinking of garlic and onion were my biggest worries.
Do you recognize that symbol?
He nodded toward the door with the paw print. I tried wiping demon sludge from my dress. I need a minute.
For what it's worth, I wouldn't have let the demon kill you. Maybe a slight nip.
Comforting as ever. I stepped up to his side and stared at the door. I'd been terrified over the upper demon attack, angry with Wrath about the impromptu lesson. And now, fear took residence in my